the TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
Good morning. It's 10 minutes past 8 o'clock on the Big Talker. 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. All right. The last I checked, when I got up this morning, I always like to double check, but we live in the United States of America. Can somebody Google that for me real quick and just double check? I just need to make sure that I'm right about that. We live in the United States of America, and I guess kind of officially our flag's colors are red, white, and blue. Am I right? Could somebody Google that and just double? Okay. All right. So students in Iowa, the heartland of America. Students at Valley High School had a basketball game the other night. And people were offended by what they were wearing. They were offended by what the students that were in the stands from Valley High School in Iowa were wearing the other night. These horrible, awful human beings had the nerve to show up wearing red, white, and blue.
What in the world is wrong with these kids? What's the matter with these people?
Yeah, that was offensive. Oh, why was it offensive? Because they were playing another team called North. North, yes. North. Valley High School played North the other night. The students from Valley High School showed up in red, white, and blue, and it offended the students and the faculty and the fans of North High School in Iowa. Why? Because North High School has some players on there from refugee families. That's right. Now, let's just take a look at this for a second. So these refugees, where do they come from? Well, we don't know exactly where they came from. However, we do know they came to the United States of America, right? So why would a refugee come to the United States of America? Because the United States of America offers opportunity. We offer protection from people who have been, you know, displaced or fleeing from persecution from their countries. So we are indeed that shining city on the hill, right? It's America. You're in America. Congratulations. So then why, if you come here, are you offended by people wearing red, white, and blue? And say a lot of people were very upset about it. Oh, they were so, oh. That was from a sophomore from North. That's what they told a local news affiliate. Oh, we're upset about it. Even if it was their theme for the game, they said, I feel like they should have switched that because everyone knows that North is a more diverse school. More diverse than what? They're still in the United States of America. It's not like we were playing, I don't know, any other country. Now, Valley High School has a total minority enrollment of about 26%. North has a 66% minority enrollment. So then, I swear, I don't understand it. So then what did the students at Valley High do? What did Valley High do? They wrote a letter. They wrote a letter to the people of North. And they said, it has been brought to our attention that the decision by the Valley High School student section to wear USA apparel at our game last night was offensive to members of your community and fan base. We are deeply sorry if we have offended anyone in any way. Please know that our intent was in no way to offend or demean. Just support our own team in the way that we have done before. So now we have a school in Iowa who is apologizing for wearing red, white, and blue to a basketball game. New England Patriots fans, look out. They're coming for you next. Let's go to North Charleston. Talk to John. Good morning, John. How are you?
Good morning, Charlie. How you doing?
Good, good. What's up?
I thought it was bad when they used to say black people hate themselves, but white people, y'all taking it to a new level.
We loathe ourselves. We look in that mirror and go, look at you with your white privilege.
Y'all make me mad. Y'all better love this country and keep it.
You're right.
We're dealing with some, you cannot. get along with liberals. Friends, family, people in Congress, they acting stupid.
Yeah.
Talking about friends across the aisle, they're not your friends.
That's right. They are, that's right.
They're not your friends. I just want to say, everybody knows there's a lot of states and the federal government, the budget is out of control.
Mm-hmm.
Because these guys won't do the right thing. They breach their fiduciary responsibilities. And again, like I always say, who's going to bail us out when there's no money left?
Right. That's right.
There is no ifs, ands, and buts in this. These budgets have to be tight. They got to do a little bit of Archie Bell and the drills. They got to do the tighten up.
That's right. That's right.
Somebody need to play that theme every time they walk into the United States House, into the Senate. Tighten it up.
But they don't. They just want to spend more.
You can't cut that. You can't cut this. And then when everything is cut, remind me of those movies, you know, when everything goes to ashes and all the political officials are getting out.
Yeah.
After, you know, they bungled the whole situation and the rest of the masses is just left holding an empty bag. These budgets have got to get right.
I agree, John. If states and our federal budget doesn't come under control, I mean, what? How many more trillions of dollars do we need to add to the deficit?
If we don't control them, those budgets will control us.
You got that right. John, I appreciate you calling in, buddy. Thank you very much. Paul is in Somerville. Paul, how are you?
Pretty well, thank you. I'm interested in this team in Iowa that was foolish enough to apologize for wearing the colors of this nation.
Right.
Look, I'd like to remind everybody, if you look on a globe, there are like hundreds of other countries that you can be in. Because being offended by the colors of the American flag when you're living in America is like, I don't know, you work in a school and you're offended by children.
Yeah.
You work at Lowe's and you're offended by wood, cement, and nails.
Yeah.
You're a lifeguard of the beach and you're offended by sand. It's like, okay, you know, you don't really, if it's that offensive, you know, by all means, we're not going to detain you from going somewhere else.
No, not at all. We'd be happy to see you out.
And I really, really do believe, I am a big believer in tolerance, and I'm also a big believer that it extends in all directions.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, because I heard you joking about, like, white privilege. Like, I don't know, maybe it's just me, because my father grew up in a house without electricity or indoor plumbing, and this was in the 50s, and this
right.
was up north. It's like, really? Really? He just wallowed in all that privilege.
Yeah.
There, you know?
Yeah. I took my white privilege to a bank one time, and they wouldn't cash it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, all I'm saying is that, you know, it's a big country. There's plenty of room for everybody. You know, just find a place that makes you happy, and then just stop complaining about everything.
I love
it. Firing rounds at you. Nobody's beating you over the back of the head and forcing you to dig blood diamonds for the rebel army. Okay, it's like you're not in a concentration camp. You haven't been thrown in a hole in the ground. You're not being starved to death.
That's right.
You know,
and they come here because that doesn't happen here, but then they're offended once they're here.
WTMA. It's Charlie James on 1250 WTMA.
Good morning. It's 25 minutes past 8 o'clock on the Big Talker 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. Let's go to Somerville and talk to Chris. Chris, how are you this morning?
Good, Charlie. How you doing?
Good. What's up, buddy?
You know, I was listening to y'all's conversation, and I got to tell you, I saw a little blip of it on the news.
Yeah.
But in the back of my mind, I'm thinking that this has got less to do with the actual refugees than the liberals who want to make it something that's offensive.
Right. I wonder how many of the refugees actually complained about it.
Exactly, because I tell you, I mean, I've only known a couple of actual refugees in my life, and when these people landed in this country and they saw that flag, they were brought to tears.
Oh, yeah.
They wanted to get down and kiss the ground and, you know, thank God they were in America. So, you know, I really think this is more of the liberals agging somebody on going, you're offended by this, aren't you?
Look at that. You really must be offended right now.
Yeah, if you was to poll those refugees there, to where there was going to be no repercussion, you could do it, you know, anonymously, and say, were you offended by that? I guarantee you 99.9% would say nope.
Right.
Not 100%.
Because they know they have come to a nation, like I said, with a shining city on the hill.
That's right. That's right. So I think if this is more about the intolerant left than it is about the actual refugees.
Absolutely. Chris, I appreciate you calling in. And he's right. It's the liberal. It's the left. It's the American liberal system that is so offended. Now, love this. You know that nut job Shia LaBeouf? You know that guy? He put up this thing. It was at the, I guess, what was it? One of the museums or one of, yeah, one of the museums in New York. He put up a webcam. He was going to keep it there for 4 years during the Trump administration. And people would go by and they would say, he will not divide us. Well, guess how that turned out for him? Not well, because all of a sudden a bunch of Trump supporters started showing up and they were, you know, their Trump T-shirts and their Trump hats. And they were trying to, you know, they were yelling pro-Trump slogans and things like that. So he said, all right, enough of that. We're taking it out of New York. We're going to put it in Albuquerque, New Mexico. This is where we're going to put it. Now we've got it. Same thing happened there. He started getting trolled so bad. So then he said, all right, forget it. We're taking this down. We're going to put up a flag that says he will not divide us, and we're going to fly this flag at an undisclosed location. There's no way anybody is going to be able to find this flag. Never tell people on the internet that they can't do something, because they're going to find a way. So they started monitoring this this live stream of this flag, and they started noticing that there were airplanes going over. So then they went in, they checked the FAA flight logs. Uh-huh. And then finally, there were three planes that went over in a certain sequence, and they were like, all right, now we've got the approximate area. Then they turned to astronomy, to it's amazing what they did. They tracked the movement of the stars, and then they narrowed it down even more. And then when they had an area that they thought was about right, they had a guy drive around with a truck and honk his horn. The whole time, they found the flag, and in the middle of the night, it's a beautiful video where the he will not divide us flag was lowered, and they raised a Donald Trump hat. Shia LaBeouf, you might just want to wave the white flag on the internet, buddy.
1250 WTMA, the TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
Good morning. It's 8:40, 20 minutes until 9 o'clock on the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. We got about 20 minutes until 9, like I said. Let's go to Somerville and talk to Malcolm this morning. Good morning, Malcolm. How are you?
Good morning.
Yes,
good morning,
sir.
Thought I'd call and bring a little fancy to you, Phil. Last week, we talked about the unemployment rate was down to 4.6, and you told me,
seven.
You know, back then, it was 4.6 when I first called you.
Okay.
And you told me that was fake. You remember that? You said it was fake. Those numbers weren't right. In fact, the president said the same thing until Sean Spicer got on a show yesterday, and they laughed about it. They said, well, they're not fake numbers now. So that proved that Donald Trump is a liar in my
Oh, that's what does it?
Well, you know, if you say one thing and it's not the truth, and then you laugh about it, and then and it's so funny, but like
it's really just eating at you, isn't it, Malcolm? That he's been so successful over the past 52 days.
No, he has not been successful.
Really,
Mr. James?
Really?
Those were President Obama's numbers. Okay.
Okay.
What about today? Is he going to come up and tell us where the president tapped his line, or is he going to be proved a liar once again?
Oh, we will find out. We will certainly find out. But let me ask you a question. When are people going to come out with the proof that the Trump administration or the Trump campaign actually colluded with the Russians? Where's that evidence?
Yeah.
Like
I said, we'll find out today. And we'll find out when the FBI man tells us about it.
FBI man already told us. No evidence.
Resist. The guy is a liar. He does not tell the truth. And what it is, poor white folks that voted for him, they're going to rule the day.
Okay.
Have a good day.
All right. You too, Malcolm. Speaking of resist. Oh, and by the way, unemployment rate, 2017, February, 4.7%. Now, this is the quote-unquote official unemployment rate. However, this is the U3 number. It's what they call the U3 number. This includes people that are working, let's say, underemployed. They're part-time. The only thing they can get right now is a part-time job. And we're talking about even 1 hour a week. That's that number. That's that 4.7 number. Let's look at the U6 number. Now, this includes people who are underemployed as being unemployed. So if you're only working an hour a week or whatever, then they include you on this list. Right now, that rate, the U3 numbers are 4.7%. The U6 numbers are 9.2%. Now, if you go back to 2012, the U6 numbers were 15%. And some people say a lot higher than that. And in fact, the start of 2000 and we'll say this time last year, the U6 numbers were 9.7%. It's down to a 9.2%. That's the real unemployment rate that we should be looking at, not that U3, to let us know exactly how well our economy is doing. So, like I said, those numbers are really important. All right, 556-1250 is the number to be on the program. Talking about Resist, there are people, and I don't have anybody, any verification of this, but I have heard that people are being robocalled by not only Hillary Clinton, but former President Barack Obama. And they are telling people that they need to resist the Trump administration. Now, when we talk about I call it a silent coup that's going on against Donald Trump and his administration. When have you seen a former president come and speak out against the sitting president the way that Obama's doing? No, it's not done. It's just not done. Usually a president, once he's out of office, he goes away for a little while. And in Obama's case, he went and partied down with the white folks at Richard Branson's private island. That must be nice, huh? Or maybe he's going to go up to Martha's Vineyard and hang out there because, you know, he's down with the Brown. So I've never heard that. I don't know anybody that's had these robocalls, but certainly people have been posting about it on Twitter saying that they've gotten robocalls from Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama telling them to resist Donald Trump and his administration.
WTMA. Now, the TMA Morning Show continues with Charlie James.
Good morning. It's 8:52, 8 minutes until 9 o'clock on the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. Glad to have you along with us on this Monday morning, the 13th day of March, as everybody's trying to recuperate from that hour of sleep they lost. I've got a really good remedy for losing that hour of sleep during daylight saving time. A really good remedy of this. All right, here. First thing you do, number one, go to bed an hour earlier. And that's pretty much it. That's the whole thing right there. You don't really need to do a whole lot more than that. Just go to bed an hour earlier and everything's fine. But for some, why is it people always want to sleep in late in the morning, but they never want to go to bed a little bit earlier? I'm all for that going to bed early thing. All right, 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. Ladies and gentlemen, you will not believe what is now racist. You will not believe the latest thing that is racist. Students at California's Pitzer College, are being warned that one of their accessories that the white women wear there at Pitzer College in California, one of their accessories is racist. Are you ready to find out what it is? Are we ready? I think everybody's ready. Hoop earrings. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Students at California's Pitzer College were greeted with a message on their free wall. They have I guess it would kind of be like the folly boat, right? people go out there and just paint messages on it and all of that. Well, that's kind of like the free wall there at Pitzer College. And it said, "White girl, take off your hoops," with 3 exclamation points. You know, just let us know that they're really, really serious. But the white girls around campus had no idea what it meant. And one of them sent out a campus-wide email asking for an explanation. So Pitzer resident assistant Algria Martinez sent the following reply and explained to her that she is a racist, cultural appropriationist. If she ever puts on hoop earrings, that's for black people and brown people only. That's right. That's right. It said the culture actually comes from a historical background of oppression and exclusion. The black and brown bodies who typically wear hooped earrings and other accessories like, you know, gold plate name necklaces are typically viewed as ghetto and are not taken seriously by others in their daily lives. Because of this, she goes on to say, "I see our winged eyeliner, lined lips, and big hoop earrings serving as symbols and as an everyday act of resistance, especially here at the Claremont Colleges. Meanwhile, we wonder why should white girls be able to take part in this culture wearing hoop earrings, and being seen as cute, aesthetic, ethnic? White people have actually exploited the culture and made it into fashion." There you go. So where did the guy, you know, when did that, I don't understand when you get a monopoly on a fashion item. When did that become a thing that only African Americans and Hispanics and Latinos can wear hoop earrings? So, well, you might as well take them out. Melt down those hoop earrings, girls. Go get them turned into something else. No more hoops for you, only for folks like, you know, Beyonce and J-Lo. They're the only ones that can wear hoop earrings. And heaven forbid a white man wear hoop earrings. Oh, the sensitivity of the left. I mean, it's just like everything is just, oh, it's offensive, and they're hurt, and they're, and oh, boy, that's the world in which we live. You can't do nothing no more. 556-1250 is the number to be on the program. That's 556-1250. Well, let's talk about maybe straight hair. Let's talk about that. Is that cultural appropriation? Is that? I don't know. You don't see anybody crying out about that. All right, what else we got going on out there? 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. Looks like that Donald Trump has unfollowed the host of Morning Joe on Twitter. That's right. That's right. President Trump unfollowed Joe Scarborough and Mika Brzezinski on Twitter. A CNN report from back on March 6th, which recorded all of Trump's Twitter users. The president follow had the MSNBC co-host on the list. At some point over the weekend, he dumped them. Oh, I'm sure they're hurt. I'm sure they're hurt. Let's go to Billy on James Island. I want to talk about these hoop earrings. Billy, how are you?
Oh, we're doing good this morning.
Yeah, what's up? You want to talk about the hoop earrings? What's going on with that?
Oh, I have just been thrown into a total panic and anxiety attack.
Yes.
I just realized Mr. Clean has been wearing hoop earrings since 1950.
And what is he?
Oh, my goodness.
He's a white male.
Oh, my,
oh my word. Oh, my word. Oh, how many pirates now? How many? You know, these were, you know, kind of came into fashion with the white pirates, right?
Absolutely.
So I guess who took from who? Billy, I appreciate you calling in. Thank you, buddy. Let me just Google Mr. Clean here real quick and just double make sure that he is a white supremacist. Let's see. Mr. Clean. There we go. Let's get a picture of this guy. Oh, yep. Boom. There it is. Hoop earring. Hoop earring and Mr. Clean. Doggone it. And look at him with his white eyebrows and white shirt and white pants and all white and buff with his hoop earring. Never understood why that was a thing for him. But I guess, you know, hey, it works for him. So I wonder how the students at the college out there in California feel about Mr. Clean. Yeah, they said that hoop earrings are cultural appropriation. Well, let's see what Blackbeard has to say about that. All right, everybody getting over daylight savings time. This is the day of the year that it's more, you're 17% more likely No, some say 25% more likely to suffer a heart attack today than on your average Monday. There are also more car crashes today. It's the worst day of the year to be sentenced for a crime. Study came out that found that judges impose harsher crimes today than any other time of the year. I guess because they're all grumpy and sleepy and just in a bad mood today. You're less likely to get robbed today because, you know, criminals, they lost that hour of sleep too. Maybe they're not motivated today. That's the only positive side effect. There are 7% fewer robberies the day after daylight savings time. And 27 fewer robberies the night after daylight saving time start, because the sun sets later and most robberies happen when it's dark out.
The TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
Good morning. 6 minutes past 9 o'clock on the Big Talker 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. Telling you what I got for you right now. Now, these tickets are very hard to get. I got two tickets to opening night of the Lexus Charleston Fashion Week. You're going to be under the tents at Marion Square opening night. That's coming up tomorrow night. That is March the 14th, tomorrow night. Two tickets to opening night of Lexus Charleston Fashion Week. And I will take caller number 3 right now at 556-1250. That's 843-556-1250. Caller number 3, going to pick up these tickets to Charleston Fashion Week. You can go see what all the cool hip people are wearing this year, going to be wearing this year with Charleston Fashion Week. It's a big deal. It's a big deal in Charleston. We got a lot of designers in town, a lot of fashion experts and critics in town. So let's go to the phones right now and say, hey, good morning. Who is this?
Maria Pasalacqua.
Maria, how are you this morning?
Hi, I'm good. Thank you.
Maria, you are caller number 3. You just picked up these tickets to Charleston Fashion Week opening night. How about that?
I'm so excited.
All right.
Thank you.
You a big fashion fan?
I am a big fashion fan, and I have a friend's daughter who'll be in the fashion show.
Really?
So I really wanted to see her. Yeah.
Oh, well, that's awesome. Well, you're going to be under the tents at Marion Square tomorrow night. How about that?
Oh, I'm thrilled. Thank you so much.
You are so very welcome. I'm going to put you on hold. John Quincy is going to get your information from you. Yeah, good for you. Good for you. That's going to be a heck of a show. All right, 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. What else we got going? All right, so I'm not sure about this whole Ryan Care. And we're calling that because this is Speaker Paul Ryan's bill, and he's getting a lot of pushback on it. In fact, Representative Jim Jordan of Ohio is the member of the House Republicans Freedom Caucus. He says, understand the speaker's plan does not repeal Obamacare. He went on to say, even Charles Krauthammer said that. He called it Obamacare light. It doesn't bring down premiums. It doesn't unite Republicans. So why not do what we all voted for just 15 months ago, clean repeal, and then get focused and build some momentum to actually replace Obamacare with something that's going to bring down costs. Now, where I differ from him is this. Let's work on that bill before we repeal. You have to have almost a seamless transition in some ways between Obamacare and whatever other health care bill they come up with. Now, I know what a lot of you folks are saying right now. You're saying just a repeal and forget it. Not sure if that is going to be possible. I mean, the horse is already out of the barn on this healthcare thing. We remember that back when they were rolling out Obamacare with healthcare.gov and all of that stuff, the website that kept crashing and all that. We know that Republicans were kept out of the meetings. You know, there were 97 hearings on Obamacare, yada, yada, yada. But when Obamacare was actually being drawn up, the Republicans were not allowed to take any part in trying to decide exactly what was going to go in Obamacare. And remember what Obama said. Elections have consequences. Therefore, you guys just get to sit over there and shut up. So the Republicans are now in the driver's seat. And I have this feeling. You watch over the next couple of days. Watch this week to see if more Democrats start getting on board with this Republican plan. Because that will signal to me that it will be a death knell for the Republicans in 2018. There will be a backlash. There will be Republican blood in the streets. Because, see, Republicans aren't like Democrats. The Democrats, whatever the president says, that's the gospel. He is infallible. There's, nobody's going to stand up and say anything against the president or, Nancy Pelosi or Chuck Schumer or anything like that. Once they get their, they make their statement, every other Democrat has their marching orders and they just follow lockstep along with them. Not so much with the Republicans. Republicans eat their wounded. That's just the way it is. So it will be a huge, this bill will be a huge disaster if the bill that Paul Ryan is proposing right now, which doesn't do, it doesn't address, he even said this weekend, I can't say that premiums aren't going to go up. What? I thought that was the whole reason for getting rid of Obamacare. Sheila and I were going through some papers last night. We were doing some filing. And I came across an old check stub from an old employer. I think it was back in 2009 or something like that. And this kind of made me sick because I was paying, I think it was like $250 a month. $250 a month. And this was for the top of the line insurance plan that that company offered. Top of the line. This was it. Top notch. We're not talking about Cadillac tax or anything like that. This is the best they offered. I was paying $200 a month, and that was for a family plan. When I would go to the doctor, the only thing that I would pay when I walked into that doctor's office was a $20 copay. And I was on my merry way. It took care. I also had dental insurance. I had eye care. I had, it was such a great plan. And now I look at my insurance and I go, well, what does this even cover? What does this even cover? Hardly anything. And I got a $5,000 deductible. I'll never use that unless, I break a femur, like I say. So you've got to come up with something better than that. Would we love to go back to the free market and let it doesn't even from what I'm hearing about this, this Ryan Care is that it doesn't even address companies being able to cross state lines in order to sell you insurance. We got to open up that market, open it up to competition, get these premiums down, get these deductibles down, and make sure that everyone can afford the insurance. Because right now, the middle class is really getting raked over the coals. Really, really taking it up the old wazoo when we're talking about these premiums. Say they want to expand the Medicare coverage, which means a state has to fill the gaps. Now, the federal government is going to come in and help them out for a couple of years. And then after that, it's the state's responsibility. And now you've got more entitlements going on there. So I don't think this is a good deal. I think we need to sit down, or they need to sit down and really come up with a better plan. I think, of course, we heard last week the Congressman Sanford was against it. We know the vice president is for it, but still he's got his marching orders from the president. I certainly hope that we come up with a better bill than what we are looking at right now as far as health care is concerned in this country, because if we don't get something good, it's done. You're going to have a Democrat House, you're going to have a Democrat Senate, and come 2018 or 2020 rather, you're going to have a Democrat in the White House. And it's all going to be because of this health care bill. 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. 1250 WTMA.
It's Charlie James on 1250 WTMA.
Good morning. It's 20 minutes past 9 o'clock on the Big Talker 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. Let's go to the phones right now and talk with John Steinberger. John, what do you think about Ryan Care?
Well, Charlie, I think you were spot on. And what the really scary thing here is how authoritarian Speaker Ryan is,
yeah,
standing up there and saying, this is the only chance we're going to get, take it or leave it. And that's not happening. That's just what Nancy Pelosi would do.
Right. And don't you think that that attitude that we get from a lot of Republicans in the House and the Senate, that's it. Take it or leave it. I mean, that is not what we voted for. You're exactly right.
Now, Congressman Sanford has an alternative. It's called the Obamacare Replacement Act. It's H.R. 1072, and that deserves to be in the conversation. And I think our only hope right now is that President Trump stands up to Ryan and says, hey, let's include the conservative principles in the Sanford and Rand Paul bills and give the taxpayers and the voters what they ask for.
And how do you think if this bill by Ryan gets approved? I mean, a lot of people are saying, well, that's it, that they're, you know, the Republicans are done in 2018. You feel like that's going to be the case?
Well,
will there be a backlash?
A lot of safe districts. So I don't think it will be the case in the House. It could clearly be in the case in the Senate, where Republicans only have a 2-seat advantage.
Yeah.
And we got to keep it from happening. And President Trump's the only one who can do that. Bring the message that this isn't what people voted for.
Mm-hmm.
And this won't bring down costs, and he promised to bring down costs.
I know. Well, if we're not going to bring down costs, then why not just keep Obamacare?
Right. It's absolutely absurd. I guess Speaker Ryan has some relationship with the insurance industry that's been the big winner in all this.
Yeah.
We need the president to stand up for us, and I'm sure he'll do it when he sees that things are going in the wrong direction. This guy wants to deliver on what he promised, and he's going to do what it takes.
Yeah, he needs to really put his foot down with Ryan. John, I appreciate you calling in. Thank you, buddy. I mean, this Ryan plan is just, it's not going to do anything more than what Obamacare does. And in fact, in some cases, it's going to be worse. Even Paul Ryan admitted that, hey, I don't know, premiums might go up. Well, that's why we don't like Obamacare. Don't you understand? There's a couple of things we don't like about Obamacare. If we have to have some sort of national health plan, if we have to have it, now, ideally, we wouldn't do it. We would just repeal Obamacare and then do something, and I know I hate government interference as much as you do, but do something to actually address the cost of health care in this country, not just who pays the insurance premiums, which is all of any of this does. It just, you know, deals with who gets the insurance, not how much we're paying for the health care itself. That is not addressed because, you know, you can't do that. So if you're not going to bring down the premiums and you're not going to give better coverage, then why not? Why have you wasted our time for the past however many years talking about repealing Obamacare? Why have you wasted our time? It's ridiculous. So you get rid of the individual mandate. That's all right. That's a step. You stop fining people for not having insurance, even pre-existing conditions. They're going to keep the pre-existing condition clause in Ryan Care, we'll call it. However, if for some reason your coverage lapses, let's say you were on you had an employer and you were on the employer's plan, like I am here at Cumulus. You're on the employer's plan and something happens and you lose your job and you go for, 30 days without insurance. These are just hypothetical numbers, though. Then when you go back and you get on Ryan Care, they can fine you, in a sense, they will fine you 30% penalty for up to a year because you let that insurance lapse if you have a pre-existing condition. So, and what is a pre-existing? Well, what if you have high blood pressure? What if you have type 2 diabetes? What if you have, I don't know, add a list of other things. So if something happens and you lose your insurance and it lapses, well, you should have got the Cobra. I don't even know if they do Cobra anymore. So if the insurance lapses and you don't get the Cobra because, God awful, that's expensive, then you get back on your on Ryan Care. Well, guess what? You're going to pay 30% more. The whole idea behind it was to reduce premiums to make sure that people can get the health care that they need. And I don't see this happening with this bill. I'm not a big fan of it. Not a big fan of it. I know that Vice President Pence was going all over the country over this weekend trying to hype up this bill, but I don't think it's the way to go. I really don't. If you're not going to do what you said, if you're not going to, fulfill your campaign promises, then you got to pay the price, 2018. And I think they're going to do it. I certainly hope it doesn't pass. I certainly hope the president starts listening to people around him that are saying, listen, this isn't the way to go. And I don't believe it's the way to go either. All right, 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. That's 556-1250. As we are, this is the first Monday after daylight saving time. Hope you guys are coping with it okay. I really don't understand that whole thing. People get all worked up about daylight savings. You know it's coming. Plan for it. But we're finding out now that, there was a lot of people that said that, well, we got daylight saving because of the farmers. And that's not true. That's not true. Had nothing to do with the farmers. In fact, the farmers are against it because they got to get up early anyway. All right, 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. This horrible story in Goose Creek. Tests have confirmed that the burned body found in a barrel behind a Goose Creek home is indeed that of the homeowner, 68-year-old Michael Mulliken. His remains were discovered on February the 27th. He lived at 469 Madeline Drive. He rented a room to 23-year-old Shannon Maurice Smith Jr., who is accused of stealing Mulliken's 2017 Honda Civic from the home. Now, Smith was arrested while traveling in the car with two other people in St. Peter's, Missouri. He faces charges of grand theft larceny. Goose Creek police were first got signs of trouble when they went to Mulliken's house to do a welfare check, and they found bloodstains in the garage, and they searched, and then they found his body. So we'll find out how that case goes. Real quick, let's go to Tim in Somerville, wants to talk about Obamacare. Tim, how are you?
I'm all right.
What's up?
How about you?
Doing all right.
Why don't we do the same plan that the senators are all on?
I love that idea.
Okay, that's all I have.
Well, I appreciate it. Tim, if it's good enough for the president, and it's good enough for Congress, and it's good enough for the Supreme Court, and it's good enough, why can't we be on your deal? Why can't we have the same insurance that Paul Ryan has? I don't even know. It's got to be good, right? So my biggest question is, how do they get to be exempt? If it's such a great plan, then join us on it. Come on. Join us on Obamacare. Join us on all of the health care that everybody else has to have in this country. The people that vote you in office. You have better health care than them. Why? Because you voted yourself better health care than them. Why should your health care be better than mine? Why should it be cheaper than mine? I want to know exactly what kind of health plan that our government officials are on, and I want to get on that health care. That's the one I want. Let's do that. But no, can't do that.
WTMA, the TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
Good morning. It's 9:38, 22 minutes until 10 o'clock on the Big Talker 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. Let's head out to Ladson and talk to Ron. Ron, how are you this morning?
I'm fine, Charlie. How are you?
Good. What's up, buddy?
Listen, you asked the question, what Paul Ryan did, how
Yeah.
They're under OPM. They vote themselves under there and their employees.
Right.
Under OPM, you got four different insurance companies. You got mail handlers, Blue Cross and Blue Shield, and all that.
Right.
At a cheaper rate because they consider themselves government employees, which
yeah.
they are not. They are not government employees. They're not hired by the government.
Mm-hmm.
But they managed to get themselves on OPM so they can get a cheaper insurance rate, deductible, and everything. I'm a retiree. I'm under mail handler.
Now, and also these companies that they get their premium or their plans from, they can be anywhere in the country.
Yeah. Their plan comes directly through OPM. They say, OPM, I want to join mail handler.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter where they're at in this country. They can be overseas, and it still covers them.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Ron, I appreciate it. And again, if it's good enough for them, why isn't it good enough for us? I mean, certainly they're not paying exorbitant premiums with exorbitant deductibles like we are. The folks in Congress and the Senate and all of that. Why then? Again, I don't understand. And I guess if you're in power, you get to do that. If you are a lawmaker, well, that's what you get to do. You get to make the laws. So, ta-da! Here's what we're going to do. We're going to make you guys get this insurance over here, but I think we need better insurance than the average American. So, all in favor? It's unanimous. We all get better insurance. How is that? What? I don't get it. I don't get it. No, I do get it. I mean, completely get it. It's the golden rule. He who owns the gold makes the rules. And that's exactly what they're doing up there in Washington. And they're trying to say that there's nothing that they're doing in Washington that is at all addressing the cost of health care. Why health care is so high. Remember when you were able to pay cash and go in and get go to the doctor? When you left the doctor's office, you knew the lady at the desk. Hey, Sally, how are you? How much will that be? Oh, that'll be, $30. All right, can you take a check? All right, well, here you go. Here's your check. And you walked out. I don't think I ever remember my grandfather, at least I don't remember him discussing it, talking about health insurance. Because they always just paid cash. That's the way it used to be. Jerry is west of the Ashley. Jerry, what do you think about Obamacare?
I like to see them repeal it and don't do nothing else with it.
Right.
Because your premiums will be lower and your deductible will be lower.
We hope, yeah.
Before Obama took over this damn thing, you could afford it. You can't afford it now. Keep the government out of the way. That's what I say.
There you go. Jerry, we appreciate it. But so, and again, but I wish that were, it was as simple as that. I wish it were still as simple as that. You just repeal and then walk away. But I think the horse is out of the barn right now. And if you want to ensure the Democrats get into power the next election cycle, that's one way to do it. But I don't think this new bill is good. I don't like it. I don't like it. I don't like it. And I don't like the way that Paul Ryan is riding roughshod over this whole thing. I just don't think it's what we need right now. And if this, and you watch, and I said this a few minutes ago, if these Democrats start getting on board with this new plan, that is proof positive that they think it is going to be the death of the Republicans in 2018. You watch. So I certainly hope that that Paul Ryan comes to his senses. And has he ever? I mean, you've only had, several years to work on this thing, Mr. Ryan. All right, 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. They're looking at raising our gas tax here in South Carolina. Currently, right now, we have the lowest in the United States. But they got some people up there in Columbia want to raise the gas tax Nobody wants to pay more for fuel, but they say, this is a story from the Post and Courier from this weekend, you could easily offset potential tax increases in a couple of different ways. Oh, it's easy to do. I love that. They say, make sure you're buying only the gas your vehicle requires. Check the sticker inside your door or your owner's manual. If your car is designed to work fine with the least expensive 87 octane, don't pay for the higher fuel. It adds an extra 25 cents per gallon. Shop around. Per gallon prices vary from one gas station to another. I tell you what, I don't know what's going on Rivers Avenue, but their gas prices are low over there. I mean, really low. They say, get rid of the junk in your trunk. No, I'm not talking about going on a diet. I'm talking about taking the extra weight out of your car. Every 100 pounds gives you a 1% drop in fuel mileages. Fuel mileage, if you have a roof rack, you might want to take that off. Again, why do we have to worry about us taking austerity measures when they could simply not pass the gas tax? Anyway, I don't think McMaster's going to sign the thing. I really don't. I really don't think he will. I don't think he wants to be the governor at this stage, and he's got an election coming up. I don't think he wants to be the governor that raises the gas tax here in South Carolina, because that will give the Democrats a lot of fuel against him, a lot of weapons against him.
1250 WTMA.
Now, here's more of the TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
Good morning. It's 9:51, 9 minutes until 10 o'clock on the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. Apparently, some gunfire broke out this morning at the store where Michael Brown in Ferguson, Missouri, the store where Michael Brown was said to have robbed, which basically led to his shooting. We'll give you a little some details on that. Right now, I want to go out to Goose Creek, and I want to talk to Sylvia about Obamacare, continuing this conversation. Sylvia, how are you this morning?
I'm doing fine. You made the statement that your grandfather, you know, he paid in cash or a check or whatever.
Right.
He went to the doctor.
Yeah.
How often did your grandfather go to the doctor back then?
Oh, you had to be bleeding from the eyes grandfather to send you to the doctor.
Now, I'm 70 years old, but growing up, I grew up in a little town called Dorchester.
Right.
And my mother raised 11 kids. Do you know how often we went to the doctor?
How often?
Very seldom.
Yeah. Something had to be seriously wrong with you for you to go to you had to be hurt.
Well, nowadays, people run to the doctors for the first little sniffle they get, you know, and it keeps running premiums up higher and higher, you know, because people go to the doctor for anything and everything because they don't know how to take care of themselves nowadays.
Right. Yeah. We've lost that ability. Well, I mean, look at it on television, Sylvia. They tell you, you've got to go to the doctor for every little thing that pops up.
That's right. Now, my mother, when she went to the doctor in Somerville, he had a note on his door, and this can pertain to medicine. It can pertain to everything else. There was a note on his wall. There was a saying on his wall, and I don't know if I get it exactly right. If it goes like this: if you take one penny from the government, then the government owns you.
Yeah.
And today, you know, with the medical and everything, the government owns you with the medical. And once they get complete control of you with the medical, then they're going to tell you when you can go to the doctor, when you can't go to the doctor, who can go to the doctor or not. It's the way, you know, I hate to say it's like a genocide in a way, because it's the way of them saying, oh, you're too sick, we don't want you to go to the doctor.
Right, and we've seen that. I mean, with the national health system they have over in England, you know, if you're, let's say you're 80 years old and you've got, you know, a terminal disease, it's their decision that we're not going to treat you.
I know, because my mother was British, so I know.
Yeah, no, yeah. I followed their
government, you know, a good bit.
Right.
Everything, so... Yeah, and that's the way our government's going. And everything that we have in our housing, our food, everything we have, the government has a hand in it. And somewhere along the line, and I don't know if it's the baby boomers that started it, or somewhere along the line, we figured the government had to feed us. The government has to take care of us. They
right.
have houses and everything. And now we're complaining because the government wants more control. Well, we gave it to them.
That's right. And that's a great point. We gave it to them. Thank you, Sylvia. I appreciate it. 556-1250 is the number to be on the program. Now, she just brought up an interesting point. I have a lot of scars from when I was younger. I was kind of a rambunctious kid. Got into a lot of scrapes. Tried a lot of things I shouldn't have tried, especially on my bicycle. A lot of scars. No stitches. No stitches on Charlie. Why? Grandfather ain't sending you the doctor to get no stitches. I've got Vaseline and duct tape. We will take care of that forthwith. Scott's west of the Ashley. How are you, Scott?
I'm good, thank you, Charlie.
Yeah, what's up?
Well, this bill.
Yeah.
Does it do anything to restore full-time jobs? Remember all the jobs that were cut because the requirement for health care that were all the full-time jobs that were cut to 29 hours?
Right, yeah. That's right.
Do anything about that requirement? Not to my knowledge.
I don't think it does either. I don't think it changes a whole lot. I don't think there's a spit's worth of difference between Obamacare and what they're looking at now.
What we need to do is unburden the American entrepreneur and get out of the way. It needs to be repealed and rebuilt from the ground up. You know, Charlie, regarding this thing, if Ryan Care is a good idea, it'll be a good idea tomorrow.
Right.
It'll be a good idea next week, and it'll be a good idea a month from now. As it stands, it's like a used car salesman saying, look, if you don't buy this now, I can't guarantee it's going to be here.
Right.
Or the price. If you come back tomorrow, it might be gone or $1,000 higher.
Yeah.
If it's a good idea, it'll still be a good idea. Once everybody's had a good, thorough look at it.
Once the dust settles, you're right, Scott, it'll be a good idea. Yeah.
There's this Republican. Yes, Republican congressman, lady, North Carolina, pushing this legislation so your employer can have your genetic material. Have you seen this?
I have not.
Yeah, it makes me sick. So if you want health insurance from your employer, and your employer, it's part of a wellness program,
right?
They can take your genetic material, i.e. your DNA,
yeah,
and as much as they want, and your family members.
Oh, that's lovely.
And you have to provide it, or they can not give you the good health insurance price.
Ah, yes.
I think it's disgusting.
It is crazy. Thank you, Scott. I appreciate it. Yeah, I'm just looked this up. Now, this is a bill. It passed a House committee Wednesday, and it could end up as a part of the second phase of the, this is unbelievable, of the Republican plan that if you want to get, say you want to get the good premiums on your insurance. Now, certain things I have to do here to get the good premium on my insurance. One, I have to go in and get a checkup every year, but that's, you know, pretty much it. Now they're saying the bill, if passed by a House committee, it could end up as being part of the, like I said, that. What it would do is completely take away the protection of existing laws that are there right now. And they could, your employers could order you to get genetic testing and hand over the results or face financial penalties. How does that sound to you? Does that sound good? Carol is on James Island. How are you, Carol?
Hi, good morning. I'm great, just fine.
Yes, ma'am.
Just got a comment.
Uh-huh.
If they're real serious about changing this Obamacare, there's an expert called Betsy McCoy. She's carried that old Obamacare bill around to Sean Hannity's program and anybody else that'll take 2 minutes to listen to her. She would know exactly how to fix every aspect of that bill. Betsy McCoy.
All right, we'll take a look at that. Thank you, Carol. I appreciate it. Betsy McCoy, we will look that up and see what she has to say about it. All right, real quick. Apparently there's a new documentary. Now, it's a movie. about Michael Brown, the guy who was shot by that police officer in Ferguson. And the movie is saying that there is evidence that Michael Brown did not rob that store in Ferguson. Now, it was his alleged, we'll say, robbery of this store that got him in, you know, trouble with the police. And then he reached for the cop's gun, and he was charging the cop, and he got shot, and he got killed. You know, hands up, don't shoot, yada, yada, yada. Now we're finding out that he may not have robbed the store, according to this documentary. He was just involved in a drug deal. Oh, well, that makes it so much better. Anyway, there was a shooting last night because of it. We'll talk about it tomorrow morning. Y'all have a great day. God bless. Buckle up. Bye, y'all.